Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Hey, I'm here with Mickey Fulp in Vancouver, and we're doing our Mickey's monthly major market review for July on the spot here. We're actually using printed copies here, Mickey. This is very quaint.
Well, to tell you the truth, Kerry, I use printed copies every month. You just don't see me doing it. So you're probably looking at a spreadsheet on the screen. I've got a copy in front of me with a few notes. So no difference for me, except we're remote in Vancouver. Major markets this month, all-time highs last week. They came off over this week, and the real reason was the 25 basis points Fed rate was baked in. So markets sold off months in yesterday a bit.
A little disappointing.
Yeah. Well, I think that was kind of expected, so no surprises. Dow closed at 26,864, still up 1% on the month. S&P 500, which hit an all-time high on Friday, closed at 29.80, 1.3% gain on the month. NASDAQ had a really nice gain, gave some of that back yesterday, 81.75, over a 2% gain for the month. And the real laggard, which has been mucking about for several months now, is the Russell 2000, small business, small cap. Cap's not doing particularly well compared to the rest of the market.
Think that spells trouble for the market?
Well, I think, it's, as Doug Casey just said, one of the shapes of things to come. 1575, up 0.5%. Now, that index has not done bad this year, up almost 17% on the year, but it certainly has lagged the other ones. Anyway, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and conceivably, that's where smaller investors find stocks. They're not really buying indexes on the majors, that type of thing. So it's going to be definitely something worth watching. The NASDAQ hasn't confirmed it, so for right now, we're probably okay.
And let's go on to the rest of the world markets, and specifically in our case, that's Canadian markets and emerging market index, which we cover. Both lagging behind. The rest of the world's lagging behind the U.S. That's no great surprise.
That's the way it should be, Mickey.
Well, it's the way it is. We can discuss the other subject if you want, but Toronto Stock Exchange Big Board 16407, 0.2% on the
basically flat.
Toronto Venture Exchange continues to be in the summer doldrums. Low volumes close at 592, 1.2% gain on the month.
We'll take it.
Yeah, Emerging Market Index was actually down a bit, close at 1037, down 18 points on the month. And finally, Volatility Index of VIX was in the low teens all over the entire month, except it was up yesterday when the computer algorithm started trading the market and knocked it down, closed at 16.
Yeah, interesting. So we saw complacency set in, lower volatility, and that kind of sets up the decline.
Well, but we did have higher volatility yesterday as soon as the Fed news came out. So, we've been in a low volatility market for quite some time here, Kerry. Moving on to money, DXY, the dollar had a very strong month, closed at 98.65, up over 200 basis points on the month, or about 2.5% actually. And so it closed up 2.6% on the month. Euro down concomitantly, of course, on a weak euro, down to 111. It's been a while since we've seen it that low. 10-year treasury was less than 2.1% all month. It closed at 2.02. And finally, Bitcoin came down off lofty levels last month, lost 18, almost 19% to close at 10,005. Question is the second run up over?
My guess is it's getting close to it, because we're starting to see lower highs and lower lows. But, Bitcoin could change on a dime. No pun intended.
No, it's going to change.
Yeah.
More than on a dime.
Yeah. Right.
In the next hour or something.
I mean, my contest that I held, the winner guessed 10,550. It actually came in at 10,538 on July 20th, right around my birthday. So, yeah, the volatility of that. If there was a VIX index for Bitcoin, forget it.
Yep. Okay, let's go on to the metals. Gold has really established a strong base at 1,400 or better. Closed the month at 1,413. No matter what the dollar seems to do, yeah. And it's up over 2.5% or about 2.5% on the month. Gold's hanging in there, and that's really good news for the gold bugs and the gold mining stocks, which have had a nice run up. Silver finally got a bit of a spurt. It closed the month at 1633. For a very nice gain, is still relatively undervalued in terms of gold. We'll talk about that when we get the ratios. Platinum, once again, bounced off its triple bottom, closed the month at 862 for a 3.5% gain. We kind of told you that was going to happen when hit that triple bottom. And finally, palladium, which is as high as $15.75 mid-month, just $8 off its all-time high, closed yesterday at a monthly low of $1,500. And not sure what happened in the palladium market this morning, but it was early this morning. It dropped $100 on New York Open in a couple of hours. It's made a little rally right now, but it basically was in the low 1400s a couple of hours ago. Finally, copper sold off over the last week. It was at 274 at one point, at 268 right now. So a 3 cent loss on the month. Relatively no progress on trade talks. And, you know, it's starting to look like the Chinese are going to try to drag this out and see if Trump's going to get reelected or not. And if he doesn't, then they're on easy street. And if he does, they've maybe the proverbial caca in your own nest sort of thing.
Yeah, two things, Mickey. So on the trade front there, yeah, it's a big mistake because the odds are incumbents get reelected. So they're really playing a low percentage bet, like they're betting snake eyes on the craps table, and they're going to seven out. The other thing, you raised a very important point, dollar getting stronger, gold getting stronger. Now, what do you draw from that?
Well, it's unusual when that happens, and it's generally in times of safe haven demand. Now, there's certainly a lot of pent-up demand for gold. It's been it's been a long time since 6-year high now at above 1400. So I think that's long overdue. And really right now, the entire world economy is dependent on the health of the U.S. economy, and it's the everything bubble right now, especially in U.S. markets.
Yeah, great points. And hey, we'll talk a little bit at the end about the conference that we're both attending and your thoughts about it. So what do we got next here?
We're taking a look at energy prices, really a volatile month for the oils. WTI actually hit $60 at one point, but we've got all these geopolitical issues that happened in the Straits of Hormuz with the Iranians and the U.S. knocking down each other's drones, and the Iranians trying to seize oil tankers, including British oil tankers. So markets got upset a little bit, but still pretty strong. Finished at 58.58 for WTI, up 38 cents on the month. That Brent to WT arbitrage narrowed over the month, probably because of the problems in the Straits of Hormuz. Closed at 65.17, down over 2% on the month. Henry Hub, we talked about this mid-month in our oil and gas review too much. We just have a glut of gas. That's reflected with a Henry Hub price at 223, down another 9 cents on the month.
We could break $2 again on that. You know, and this is a multi-year glut here. I don't care how cold it gets in the Northeast next winter. This glut of nat gas, because like we talked about, they're flaring half of it anyway.
There's just no market for it. Right. And finally, we'll go on to the uranium market. Trump punted on the Section 233 national security issues on uranium. He pushed it down the road 90 days with more studies, multi-agency report coming. That drove the price up because utilities decided they're going to have to come in and buy some uranium, which they'd put off until this happened. But they put it off this year specifically, which accounted for that drop from $29 to less than $20.23 last month or 2 months ago. Came back, closed at $25.38 80-cent gain on the month. But it really drove the uranium stocks down. And if you want to get into uranium stocks, you can buy them on sale right now.
Yeah, it totally crushed some of the big names. They went down 40-50% in a day. And all he did was delay the decision.
Well, it was totally unexpected, and the market had baked this in. It didn't happen, and the market reacted. So maybe the way to play this is you buy uranium stocks now, and right before the 90 days is up, you're going to get a little run up again. You can take some short-term profits.
Market's got to be a little bit scared at this point, a little jumpy in these stocks, and fool me once, right?
Yeah, let's go on the ratios. Gold and silver actually came down with a silver, a little run up of silver. Closed last month is at 92.3. I think we found 6 months since 1971 when that had happened. Finished yesterday at 87.1. That's still only 4% of the months since 1970. So very unusual ratios. With the rise in platinum and the decline in palladium, those numbers also changed a bit. They came off their all-time lows, but they are still in rarefied terrain here. We've got platinum to gold at 0.61 and platinum to palladium at 0.57. So still strongly skewed to the downside there. So we'll continue to watch those. Finally, Brent to WTI, we already mentioned that arbitrage settled down a bit. It's been a year since it's been this low at 1.11. And WTI to Henry Hub, we talked about there's too much gas, and that's reflected in the fact that we just set a five-year high for the WTI to Henry Hub ratio at 26.6.
Yeah, so those natural gas BTUs are really on sale. They're trading at such a discount to the BTU price of oil. But it's going to go on for quite a while till they figure out additional uses, more exportation of liquefied NG, right? Yeah. It's just going to keep going.
We talked about that mid-month, and for people interested, go on your website or my website, and you can listen to that extensive interview on the supply-demand fundamentals of the oil and gas business.
Okay, so finally, quick thoughts about the Sprott Resource Investment Conference this year?
Oh, it's always a good one. The speakers are entertaining. In some instances, unparalleled. We've got 60 or so good companies, exhibitors, populated by high net worth retail investors here. The exhibit hall floor is not very many people on it when someone's speaking. As soon as the speakers take a break, then they all flood the exhibit hall. So all in all, pleased. We look forward to this conference every year.
For sure. So psychology-wise, the exhibitors guardedly optimistic?
Absolutely. Things are picking up, we expect. I mean, there is another commodity boom coming. We just don't know where it happens. But it's always led in the venture exchange. It's always led by gold, it seems. And so the fact gold's moved up and other commodities really haven't, that's good for the business.
All right. And just finally, you got a take on the attendees, the individuals, where their heads are?
People are looking. People are looking to deploy capital. This is probably the one industry that has not participated in what's been called the everything bubble.
And it's the almost everything bubble.
Almost everything bubble. So our time is coming.
I think so. So, hey, go check out Mickey's site, mercenarygeologist.com. His Twitter feed is at mercenarygeo. Check out our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. You're probably already there. and our Twitter feeds at Kerry Lutz. We'll do this again, same time, same place. Well, not the same place. We'll each be in our respective. We'll do it the same time, though, on or about September 1st, 2019. And we'll go through the numbers again, Mickey.
Thanks a lot, Kerry.